Bart Isley with Scrimmage Play. We're sitting down for the Scrimmage Play podcast. First week of football is in the books now. Last week we talked football preview type stuff, and now we've got some games. We've got some evidence. We've got some things to work with, some things to talk about. And let's start with, this was a pretty darn good week for Central Virginia.
Yeah, you look at the overall record, 9-3. That's a great showing. Some close games, and that's where the three losses kind of come in there. The winners, a lot of them winning big. Orange winning big, Madison winning big. So many close games, like Louisa coming up with a big win there. So it looks like for week one, they're out of the gate fresh and doing well. No real injuries to speak of. That's always a concern early on. And that was a hot mess out there in terms of weather. That didn't look like any fun to play in.
Definitely not any fun to cover in, no question about it. Let's start with who had the best week. I think there are two really – there's a lot of candidates for this, actually, because there were some pretty good wins in week one. But to me, it's got to be Louisa County. The win over Sherando on the road. I mean, I think that – you know, we don't know enough about Sherando yet. But certainly that's a massive win for them out of the gate. Sherando's got guys, they got dudes, they got players. Maybe they haven't put all the pieces together yet, or maybe Louisa is just this good. I mean, they got it done right at the end. Joe Whalen gets the touchdown, then Malik Bell scoots in for the 2-point conversion. Bell had a monster day, 177 yards and 2 touchdowns on 26 carries. If he is that good, and then if Whalen somehow becomes the change of pace guy for them, I mean, I just don't know how you scheme against that squad. I mean, that is two big-time rushers in the
back. Yeah, and I think that's what we knew about Louisa coming in, was Bell and Whalen are going to be those guys. They're going to be that good. How much help are they going to get from this offensive line? Had some new players involved. They lost some key players last year. And the first week, that's pretty good. 21-20. And they got it done on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
So you got to be excited about that.
If you're moving the ball, number one, if you're moving the ball against a team that has a Penn State linebacker commitment, sure, it takes 11, no question about that. But if you're able to find a way to neutralize that guy, move the ball for 177 just from your quarterback, another 99 from the running back, that's pretty ridiculous.
Well, and don't rule out that Sherando and Louisa, they have a history. They've played before, they played in the playoffs, so it's not like Sherando's any stranger to what Louisa runs. They
absolutely
know it coming into the week, so they get to prep for it.
And like you said, they got it on the other side of the ball. A ton of guys, Devontae Shelton, we knew what kind of middle linebacker that guy was coming in. I think he had 6 tackles. And then at defensive end, he was really good as a nose guard last year, but you're plugging holes a little bit more as that. They put him on the edge to be a little more of a playmaker, Quentin Ragland, and he is off to a heck of a start. 2.5 sacks against Sherando, a pretty tremendous performance. If that's all clicking and they can kind of maintain, then Louisa County is just going to be a bear for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's sort of shots fired across the bow kind of thing.
Yeah.
They just let everybody know. And then, you know, you look at a lot of the wins. There's some mismatches in week one. We saw, Monticello versus Cesar Chavez didn't quite line up on paper, and it was even worse on the field. Where Louisa Sherando, pretty even. Albemarle Brookville, pretty even overtime game there. So seeing those
Mitchell matches, and Essex, another really even game.
So that's good to see in week one a team rising to that challenge. You know, taking on a big team like that and coming up with a win. That's very positive going forward.
Another team that had a really good run here, Madison County. Got to be excited about the Mountaineers.
Yeah, I don't think it's so surprising that they won. It's just the manner in which they won. And for a Group 2A school to have this many playmakers, there's the possibility of them putting up some big crooked numbers certainly going to exist every week. But my goodness, 62 points. And King William is traditionally a very good team. They haven't always been the best team defensively. There was a playoff battle with Goochland 4 years ago that was just absolutely tremendous. It was like 60-60. I believe that was Jordan Jefferson's introduction to make the game-saving tackle in that playoff game. But, King William is usually a team that has done well in the playoffs. And the numbers for Madison, Chris Smith, 13 for 23, 371 yards. That's really impressive. And I know they're expecting big things from him, but if he does that week to week, Madison is going to be trouble in the bull run, and at a team that can make a pretty serious run, so long as Smith and Twyman and Dylan Breeden was a huge game too. If those three playmakers can stay in there for Smith, it's going to be amazing.
Throw Isaiah Breckenridge in too, early touchdown for him. Chris Smith has weapons to work with, and he seems, at least from the numbers and from what they were able to kind of put up early, he knows where to find them. He knows how to get to them. I think that's a big step for him.
Well, and this is the difference it makes when you don't lose very much after last year's team. And that was a 2-8 team last year. They lost a lot of close games and games in the fourth quarter. They're 1 year bigger, stronger, and faster, and they look it. And certainly up front on the offensive line, I mean, you don't get to put up 60 points unless you're getting good protection.
Two other teams that had just tremendous weeks, we touched on a little bit. Goochland against Essex, they went on a pair of pick sixes, which is just crazy. Two fourth quarter pick sixes after teams played a 0-0 game. Goochland finds a lot of weird ways to win. They always have over the years. That's what good programs do.
Yep.
But that's one of the stranger ones I've seen. I mean, to play a team like Essex that is known for a pretty high-octane offense, for physical defense, that's pretty impressive. We're going to see. We're going to learn a little more about the Goochland offense in the weeks to come. But when you're just gritting it out and gutting it out when it's hot, it's humid, and you just find a way to win. And, those guys got it done.
Yeah, and one of those pick sixes for 96 yards, by the way.
Crazy.
So, I mean, they're knocking on the door.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just absolutely nuts. So, a lot of fun to see those squads kind of, put everything together. Let's jump into players that surprised. To me, it goes right back to that Goochland game. John King, and that guy's one of the less heralded members of a really good defensive unit. I think we know who Calvin Martin is. We know who Cordell Maddox is for sure.
Yeah.
The defensive ends for them, Brooks and Mayfield, are really darn good players. But John King is one of those, like, kind of classically versatile, maybe a little bit positionless guys. He's a linebacker, safety, like, tight guy, and he just makes plays, and like I said, maybe a little unheralded, but he comes up with a game winner. He takes the I think he picked off the one that was 23 yards or something like that, took it to the house. I think that's you expect Maddox's play. I mean, not 96 yard return, but
you figure he's going to factor in. Yeah.
Cordell seems to always find a way to get involved in those games, but to see John King step up, that's really special. A lot of fun to watch that guy kind of come up with a big one.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as surprising players, given the lineage of running backs at Monticello, it's never surprising when somebody shows up and has themselves a game. But I think Jarek Ayers, the fact that he barely touched the ball in this game, and I know Cesar Chavez, numbers-wise, not the biggest roster and certainly not the most physical of teams, but when you see how quick Jarek Ayers is, if he gets to that second level, listening to Jeff Lloyd talk about him, he's absolutely right. If he gets to the second level, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's just lightning quick, and he's not afraid to run in sort of in between the tackles. He likes his first touchdown, a very physical play. So he's not afraid of any of that. And I think they have a really reliable weapon in him, which is what that school always does well with. Last year they needed it from Darian Bates. Before that it was Kyrie Coons. Before that it's TJ Tillery. Before that it's Isaac Robinson. And on Jesse Ayers before that, all the way back to
Takeem Hegeman.
Yep. So it's surprising in a way to see that this school can always find that kid. He's always there. And after week one, Ayers certainly looks like he's ready to carry the ball for them.
On the other side of that, least surprising players, guys that you knew were going to be big, were big, starts with Orange County.
Yeah, so D'Angelo Hunt and Trey Smith, no shocker, the game they had. They just steamrolled Culpepper. If you got to see any of the video clips, it looked like they had a pretty good time doing it, too. So I think that Orange, not only winning that game, winning it big, and then basically getting 400 yards from two guys, that doesn't surprise me at all, and I think we're going to see a lot of big numbers. I wonder what the total rushing yards we might be able to see at the end of the year from these two combined? I mean, do we have two 1,200-yard rushers?
Do we have like two 900-yard guys? Yeah. That's still pretty darn good.
I mean, Orange certainly has the capability of putting up some big numbers. I mean, to get one of those is amazing. To have two on the same roster and then split carries so evenly, that's just, I mean, it's really impressive, but not surprising given last year.
Sure. Another one that's maybe not the least surprising, but certainly is not super surprising, is to see another Western Alamark quarterback stepping in and putting up numbers. We talked about Derek Domek's performance on Friday compared favorably to, you know, very early Kent Henry, which is obviously a different system as a sophomore, and early Sam Hurd in this. You know, the Redmond version of this Western Alamark offense. And, he did great. 142 on the ground, 166 in the air. I mean, that's over 300 yards of total offense is darn good.
And since Redmond's gotten here, I mean, this is only his third quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I think, year five that he's been here. So that's impressive in its own right. That when he gets these starters, they stick and they produce. And the system... it works. It's tailor-made for that group of athletes, and I mean, it's just impressive how it cranks out the production year in, year out, regardless who's back there at quarterback.
No question about it. So, now we kind of move to teams that maybe didn't have as good a week as they wanted to have, but we think they're going to bounce back, no question about it. I'll start with Charlottesville. We're both pretty darn high on, you know, the ability and sort of the potential of this Charlottesville team, but a rough start for them. Early games are often tough for Charlottesville. They play so many guys both ways, and they do it early, and cramps and those kind of things can't catch up to them. This time it was much more the center to quarterback exchange became a really problematic. The ball was on the ground a whole lot. And you can't make those kind of mistakes against a team like Dominion that has some studs. And they saw that, and you know, I think the defense for a long time really kept them in it. Mm-hmm. I think they had a shot, and they had a shot, and they had a shot, and then suddenly it just kind of got later and later and later, like very legitimately, literally later in the night, because all these games took forever on Friday. But it just kept getting later and later for them, and I think that's very tough. But they're gonna bounce back. I'm pretty confident that they're gonna kind of get things together, shake things up a little bit, and that might be a pretty good, Dominion team that can play. They've got some talent.
Yeah, and Dominion had their number last year. It's one of those things. It's a tough matchup in the first week. I mean, you want to see Charlottesville win that game and take the next step, but obviously you don't fault them for dropping that game.
Yeah, I think they've got a bye week here, and then they come back with Reuben Rowe, which is, you know, a good matchup for both those squads. I think that, you know, they both. They match up pretty favorably with each other. That should be a lot of fun to watch. I don't know how long it'll last. I mean, those two teams both like to run, put the ball on the ground. I think that one might be a quick one. But they get a bye week. They get a chance to kind of recuperate. It's an early bye week. It's usually tough. But Eric Sherry said, you know, I usually hate week two bye weeks, but we really need it. And I think that they get that. They get resettled. They learn a lot about themselves. They can kind of make the adjustments they need to. I think that talent's still there. It hasn't changed in a week.
Yeah, and I think another team that sort of can look forward to bouncing back is Albemarle. Losing in a game in overtime to Brookville, that's a heartbreaking way to go out. And especially the way in which they lost. They are two unlucky bounces away from not only just winning that game, but winning it by maybe two scores. They came really close. That's a really good Brookville team. I know that this isn't the state title team that Jeff Woody coached a couple years ago, but John Meeks does a great job down there, and they had a lot of pieces to replace, and they still look like a Brookville team. Yeah. So it's losing at home in overtime, definitely hard to sort of come off of, and now they have to bounce back against the Kettle Run team. And do it on the road. That's not going to be easy, but Albemarle showed it's got the talent. It's got certainly got the playmakers all over the field to be very dangerous, and I think we're going to see them sort of bounce back from this one pretty decently.
So when you kind of look, what were kind of your first thoughts? I mean, obviously, you know, some teams had really good weeks, some teams have rough, but 9-3 across the board in Central Virginia. We've got a few teams that are still kind of getting up and running. Blue Ridge, Stab, Fork Union, Woodbury, none of those teams have played their first games yet. I mean, to me, I didn't know a lot about this year, but like, this is a pretty good start. I mean, this is a pretty good start for the whole area.
Yeah, and I think what we're seeing is great offensive talent. I think the defenses, I mean, so there's obviously some exceptions to this rule. Goochland's defense doesn't need to work on too much.
Right.
You know, Louisa doing okay. But a lot of the defenses have some work to catch up to their offenses. We saw you know, some sloppy play here and there. That's going to be expected in week one. But I think that there's so much talent on the offensive side of the ball. We're going to see some really big scores. And some pretty exciting back-and-forth games. And it's going to require some creativity from the defensive coordinators around the area trying to sort of shut these systems down. You got teams that run physical. You got teams that are more finesse. You get a little bit of everything in this first week.
And we will say, we'll go ahead and we'll make this a regular segment. Let's talk about it. We set the lines every week in weekly briefing. We had an okay week. Not a great week, but okay. We definitely blew it on the Sherando-Louisa game. We had Sherando by 7 in that one, so that one's on us.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we, overall, not bad.
Yeah, it could have been better.
is always the toughest week.
Yeah, we missed on 5, so we're not proud of that. we're going to come back better research, stronger numbers. hope nobody lost too much money on them. you know, our apologies.
Well, the other thing we want to talk about is just – something we're looking forward to this week, or something that we saw last week that we really feel like needs a little bit of attention. And for me last week, Covenant Field Hockey is just so darn good. So much, I mean, they're highly skilled squad, as good a high school team as I think I've seen in a while. The addition of Ivy Allen has really kind of made them even more potent. They already have Lizzie Shim. They already have Maddie Fagan. They have Santina back in the goal. They have, and they have players all over them. McCartney is very, very good. Bunny Gaffney can really play. I mean, that is a really, really good high school field hockey team. Certainly a squad that you ought to come out and watch if you get a chance. Charlottesville's coach, she knows really good field hockey. She had Kendall Pallett for a number of years. Saw some really good teams. Took them to 2 different state semifinals. And she says they're as good as she's seen. And that's very high praise on that side for Covenant Field Hockey.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty cool that Covenant gets to play all the local public programs.
Yeah.
And that really helps sort of showcase the sport in this area, especially when a team, you know, a small private school gets this good.
Yeah.
For me, I guess looking forward, we're looking at the cross-country meeting tomorrow, the Ragamuffin Cup. It's going to be hot, but it always is. It's interesting this year, I think, because there's a changing of the guard a little bit. There's no Maddie Hunter out there to dominate for the girls.
There's no Gannon Wilcox.
So it's going to be up for the grabs again. And there's a lot of young talent coming along. We're going to see the Albemarle girls. They probably look pretty strong. Ryan Helmers and the crew. We'll see Western boys. They always produce somebody at the top of the podium, it seems like. It's interesting. It's a relay race, so it's a different format. It's kind of neat that way. But certainly looking forward to seeing what cross-country has in store for us this year, because I think it's going to be a little bit different than years past, which is never a bad thing.
Yeah, that meet is always sort of that way. You get to like see some people kind of come out of the woodwork. The Monticello girls, I think, have some stuff back, some players back.
Big championship last year for them. That was big.
Yeah, I mean, so when you got that kind of... that's what's really fun, I think, about that event, is that you get everybody in one place and you get to see people kind of rise up and kind of come out of the woodwork.
And they do a great job getting all the schools involved. So Fork Union's there, Woodbury's there on the boys' side. You got Tandem there.
No Lemongs anymore.
Yeah, right? it's a big difference.
We're out of Lemongs down at Fork Union.
Yeah, that's a 1-2 finish last year. So, it's a very different meet, and the vibe of the meet is different, too. The pressure's there. On a team level, a little bit, individual level, everyone wants to, you know, put forth their best effort. But for the most part, they're just out there. This is the kickoff for them, and they get to do it all together as opposed to, you know, running in their district or something like that. It's one big group, and it's got a pretty decent vibe to it.
So we'll look forward to that. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. We'll be back next week with more football talk. Probably going to mix in some other sports here as we kind of see some things and start to learn a little bit about it. So really appreciate you listening, and we hope you come back.